Carl DeMasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach in Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
Good morning, Savannah and the Low Country, and welcome to the Coach in Makos on the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. Remember, living is moving, living is well. And Chatham Orthopedics, we've got to thank our presenting sponsor of the Coach in Makos, and it's all right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3. Now cross the bridge and go to 92.7 over there in Hilton Head, and of course, ESPNCoastal.com. We're streaming live. Hey, and you got a smartphone? You could be all the way up in Boston like my man Kel and, just tune in on ESPN, ESPN Mobile. Go to Savannah Hilton and you can listen to us. But Markel's in studio today. He's back. He's back in the real world.
Back in the real world.
And, of course, he brought back my co-host, my cohort, Melissa Makos. How's it going there?
It's awesome.
You guys, I guess, already hit the gym and you're ready to go?
Yes, taught spin class this morning.
Oh, at the Y?
Yeah.
I think I might join the Y.
You need to.
I know. I mean, the equipment there is great, and redoing my knee and trying to get a place to work out. I mean, it's the closest thing.
And it's right there.
I don't want to cross the bridge.
I don't blame you.
When you live out in the island, you don't want to cross the bridge, right?
I don't blame you.
But everything's going good.
Yeah, everything's all right. I'm excited. We stayed up late, watched the Cavs get swept, and Markel and I had a great conversation this morning about LeBron and going to different teams, and
we'll get that in a turn too.
Okay, good.
And we got to try and hook Markel up here with a mic somehow.
Yeah,
we got to get his opinion about the whole thing, because a former Boston College All-American football player. I like it because he was an All-American lacrosse player too. But we're starting to grow lacrosse down here. So what do we got lined up for you? Like I say every week, a great lineup. We're going to start out talking about local scores, local news, national news. Then of course, quarter number two in the first game from 9 to 10, we feature the Makos, Fitness with Makos, and you got a former Richmond Hill basketball star, a former Armstrong Atlantic State star. I can't believe now she's a fireman.
I know. It's amazing. A firewoman.
No, it's a fireman.
Fireman. Okay.
You put on a gear. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. You're a fireman.
You know, she's she's amazing. And
unbelievable.
I covered Tyler Carlson when I was in at WTOC. Covered her when she was in high school. You know, shooting hoops and scoring all points and rocking the track.
She's one of the best basketball players I had a coach against.
Well, and not only is she a tremendous basketball player, she's just a tremendous athlete. She played softball. She ran track. She could do anything.
How about student too?
Oh yeah, she was, I think, like a 4.0.
Yeah. Peach Belt Conference Honor Roll, whatever they do over there in the Peach Belt Conference. She transferred from Mars Hill to Armstrong, and then back home in front of the crowd. Just a great kid, great girl. I still call her a kid.
Yeah, well, she is compared to us, right? But yeah, I was just
compared to me.
Right. Well, I was just texting with her, and she's really excited to come on, and it's just nice to. I feel like it comes full circle, to see where she's at right now in her life, and I love, one of those "where are they now" type of things, mm-hmm. because she was just a pleasure to watch and cover.
And she was a Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week,
yes,
way back when.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Or as I like to say, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Quarter number three. I'm going to travel down to 63rd and Paulson, Calvary Day School, and catch up on Georgia High School State Association news, and of course talk about what's going over there at Calvary Day School with the man himself. And that's, of course, a good friend of mine, good friend of the shows, and that's Calvary AD, soccer coach, Mr. Everything, Chad Griffin. And then we'll finish out the first game about 9:45, 9:47. We'll talk about different points that are trending in the world of sports. We call it turn two with the coach in Makos, and we're going to get Kellen here too. So we'll talk about the NBA Finals, LeBron, where he's going. And I got a good one for you. Girls in baseball. You think it's ever going to happen? Don't give me your opinion now.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about girls in baseball, because there was a great article online about a girl in Long Island, of course, New York. And I surf the web for all the news I can get. But this girl is being looked at by Major League scouts. So we'll talk about that. And I know Melissa's ready to go. And then in game number two, second hour, come back, open it up, talk about local news, local scores. We'll have the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. And I know Melissa's been drooling for this guest, okay? I finally got her on a show. St. Vincent's Academy goalie. She's a senior. She's graduating. She's going to the University of Notre Dame. I know that hurts you a little, but valedictorian, fitness fanatic.
Yes.
Okay? And that's Alana Lancer.
I can't wait to have her on, because, I was talking to her about it during spin class. And, again, Markel and I talk about this all the time. It's not – championships aren't won on the court, on the field, on the track. They are one in the off season.
Yep.
And it's the little things that you do that turn into big things. And, you know, we always talk about one of the speeches that, you know, he pointed out to me at one of the commencement speeches about making your bed, because it's your first accomplishment of the day and your first success of the day. And that just leads into, you know, the rest of your day. And even if you had a bad day, you come home and you know, your bed's already made.
Sorry to distract you. I was reading your arm.
Oh, my arm. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, long story short, you know, she's there at spin at 5:15 in the morning, and you know,
valedictorian,
and here she
4.0 average,
and here she
Notre
is
Dame
winning championships,
right? So, and of course, we'll get into the last or the third quarter of the second game, which is from 10 to 11. We're going to talk to the former Armstrong State University head baseball coach and the uncle of Charlie Culberson, Calvin Culberson, and he's going to give us his lowdown on the Braves, and then we'll go three out the door. We'll take three trending points and talk about it before we leave. Okay, we're right on track here. Let's go to the go to your scoreboard.
Yes.
You know, and I know we are your flagship station for the Braves, and they took another one on the chin last night. They lost 7-3 out in L.A. The pitching staff was unable to stop the hot, I mean, the red-hot Dodgers. I mean, they gave up 5 home runs. I felt bad for Brandon McCarthy. He couldn't make it out of the fifth inning as he was torched for 3 home runs. And being a parent of a pitcher, I'm starting to feel, even though it's a team that I'm not rooting for, you start feeling bad for the pitchers on the hill. They can't throw a strike. They walked him in. They're giving up home runs. I felt bad for Brandon McCarthy last night because I was flipping, you know, I was surfing between the Braves and the sweep of the Cavaliers. So up next, first pitch is scheduled for 9:10 against the Dodgers. They're out on the West Coast. They're not having a good West Coast trip. I think they are 1-3 right now. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. So you can listen to it right here on ESPN Radio tonight. 8:05 is the pregame. Braves will put Mr. Anibal Sanchez on the hill, and he'll take on former Brave Alex Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So Savannah Banana's there, buddy.
Yeah, they're in first place.
First place. They've won 6 in a row.
Yeah, they seem to be hitting the stride right off the bat.
Lost the first one to the Macon Bacon.
Well, Macon Bacon. Say no to bacon. Yeah,
I don't care. And Markel, you'll love this. My favorite, all-time favorite team mascot or team nickname comes from Macon. When they had a minor league hockey team there. Macon Whoopee.
Macon.
That was the name of that team.
That reminds me of that show, that game show, Newlywed Game.
Newlywed Game.
He would always talk about Macon Whoopee.
Right. Well, we had the Macon Whoopee, but no longer they don't have a hockey team there anymore.
What's a Whoopee? Like, what kind of mascot is that?
I think it was an osprey or a duck or something, but it was pretty good. I'll show you.
I think like Whoopee cushion or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So go ahead. Let's go to Braves last night. The Bananas last night.
Yeah. So they Clay Dugan scored Savannah's last 2 runs on wild pitches in the 7th and 9th innings to break a tie, and they beat the Red Wolves 7-5 in Coastal Plain League action. They've won 6 straight. They're 6-1. They lead the South Division early in the Collegiate Summer League, and they're home tonight. Lexington,
sold out.
7:05.
37th straight sold out.
Yeah, it's
amazing. It's amazing. It simply is.
And they had the banana run where you can dress up in a banana costume.
Yeah, they did that. You didn't make it?
No, we were in Boston.
That's
so.
Right.
But,
so.
Yeah, that looked like it was a lot of fun. So they're doing a lot of good stuff out in our community. I love it.
Yep. And let's go to our pro golf tour players. Brian Harmon's off the last 2 weeks. He'll probably play at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open, which is coming up. Shinnecock on Long Island, New York. Last time he played was 2 weeks ago at the Fort Worth Invitational. He was tied 14th, 7-under. He is ranked 23rd in the FedEx Cup. Gene Sowers was off last week also. He's playing at the Principal Charity Classic. He's tied for 20th at 3-under. Five off the lead. So.
Yeah. So,
We had two local golfers, amateurs, make the U.S. Senior Open.
Yeah, Jack Hall.
You know those names.
And Doug Hansel.
Yep.
Covered them. Love them. And I love that they're, you know, that's the one thing about golf. And, you know, golf is one of those sports that, you know, you could be, 60 years old and still playing. And I love it because it's such a mental game. But so you got Jack Hall, 4-under, 68, and Doug Hansel shot a 1-under par 71 at Kalawassee Island Club in Okotie. They're qualified for the U.S. Senior Open.
I played at Kalawassee. Unbelievable golf course.
Yeah.
And you're going to laugh. And I don't know what hole it was. Next thing I know, I get ready to tee off. There's a big splash in the water. Guess what head pops out of the water? An alligator.
Oh, yeah.
On the golf course. And I said to the guy I was with, his name is M. Hubbard. He used to be the headmaster at St. Andrews. Em, is this going to happen a lot where we're going to have alligators jumping in ponds when we're playing? He says, don't worry about it. They won't bother you.
Yeah, well, I played over at the Savannah Harbor at the Westin, and they have alligators all over the course.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, but okay.
The
yeah,
Senior Open will be played?
They're June 28th to July 1st at Broadmoor East Course in Colorado Springs. Beautiful place. Hall was the medalist and low amateur at the qualifier. And both Hall and Hansel will join the 2016 U.S. Senior Open champion Gene Sowers, representing Savannah at the championship.
And you know who else is going to be on the course with them?
Carl.
John Smoltz.
Really?
He qualified. He's 51. I didn't even think he was that old. John
wow.
Smoltz qualified also. He'll be out there also.
Wow. So that's impressive.
All right, over our local colleges news, not going on. I know Savannah State has a lot of basketball, football camps going on. Well, they have football camp, the Elite Prospect Football Camp. You want to get seen. There are two sessions. You got to get out there June 15th, next weekend, and June 16th, Friday and Saturday. Go to SSU Athletics and type in camps, and you'll see it. You want to get seen. And, you know, everybody, well, coach, it's Savannah State. Hey, you know what? Savannah State gives me a full ride to play football. I'm going.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not turning it down.
I don't understand what's so bad about Savannah State.
Well, a lot of our local players don't want to stay in Savannah, at Savannah
yeah,
State.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. But, you know, that's how you want to be able to recruit your local. You want to be able to get your kids that are local. I mean, Markell and I talk about that all the time. You know, when he was being recruited, you know, what's his face? Who's your coach? I can't remember. Coughlin. Oh, gosh. It's been a long morning already. Coughlin, you know, lost some prospects in Boston to Syracuse and some other schools. And so he was adamant about getting Markell and our friend Scott Dragos. And so they wanted to keep the local kids. And I think that's important. So, you know, we got to find a way to make sure that these kids realize that Savannah State is like a legit place to play.
Yep.
And we love the coaches over there. You know, I hung out with them a couple weekends ago at the beach. And, you know, they're just good people. You know, they're good
it's
people.
It's got to be. One's a Demasi.
Yeah, one is a and we got our boy Nate Scola who came on the show. And,
yes,
yeah.
Nate.
And so they got you know, I met the head coach and everything. Great family guy,
Eric Rayburn.
Yeah, and so
you
I
met
mean,
Liz.
Yeah, yes.
Liz a pip, isn't she?
Yeah, she's awesome.
She loves her job.
She's in education. I love it.
She's a principal at the Bryan County Middle School. I mean,
yeah.
You want to talk about a lady who loves education?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was in the classroom for 17 years, so she knows what it's like being in the trenches.
I like that. And that means a lot. If you've been there, done that, then, you know, you're more relatable to build relationships with your teachers.
All right, let's get through this quick. Okay, Scad Fishing sent three boats to the FLW Yeti College Fishing National Championship. None of them qualified for the third day, but that was pretty special, okay?
Yeah.
So community events, I know this is right under your, you know, right near and dear to your heart.
Well, if you want to play college softball, you need to be seen. You know, college coaches aren't going to come to your high school games.
Nope.
They're not. They need to go to these tournaments. And so the Under Armour Softball Factory Summer Classic is June 21st to 24th. It's one of the fastest growing girls fast pitch softball showcases in the South. And it's the last chance to be seen by NCAA coaches in 2018. 75 teams each year. And they're going to
show up to play.
Yeah, they're going to be at Paulson Softball Complex, the Scarborough Sports Complex, Guy Minnick Youth Sports Complex, Ambuck Baseball Field, Armstrong, Savannah State, and softball all throughout Savannah. So it's going to be June 21st through June 28th. So
it's simply amazing. I don't know if you've ever been to it. Last year, it was all over the place. I mean, every time you turn around, it was girls playing softball.
Well, and it's good for our economy as well.
Right.
So it brings, you know, teams in. And, it, you know, I mean, I know for me, like, I played travel softball. I mean, I was all over the country. And that was because I played on a travel ball team. But if you can't afford to play on a travel ball team, or if you can't make those trips, or even, you know, maybe you're not good enough to be on a travel ball team, but you're still good enough to maybe walk on. This is a great opportunity. So I love it. I think it's great giving these kids opportunities to play in college.
And we know high school is over, and I'm just going to send out a big kudos. We wanted to do this last week, but they played the best of the coach in Makos last week. We had six state championship teams in Savannah, Georgia this school year, the school year of 2017-2018. Benedictine soccer, Benedictine baseball, Benedictine tennis, St. Vincent soccer, St. Vincent's golf, and of course the Lady Adams Smasher Johnson winning their first state title in basketball. So that's a wrap up on high school sports. We'll get into summer workouts, which you started to talk about later on when we go three out the door. Once again, we're a little overtime here. We'll be back next with Fitness with Makos, and subbing in will be Kel, because Tyler Carlson's on duty.
Yes, so, you know, duty calls.
She's a firewoman.
That fireman.
Oh, there you go. I agree with you now.
You got it.
You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head.
The Coach and Makos, only here on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, and it's presented by Chatham Orthopedic Associates. And remember, living is moving. Living is moving. Living is well. I can attest to that. I got to start learning how to move. And our second segment of show all time is the Makos. The Makos and a guest, Fitness with Makos first. And we like talking about this because, you know, we love talking about sports. We love talking about the athletes that, you know, go on to the next level. But if you're not in shape, you're not going anywhere.
No. And that's the fun part about it is if you don't kick it in the off season, how are you going to kick it during the regular season? You know, we were just talking about Tom Brady this morning, Markel and I, and, you know, I can't speak to how it works in football, but Markel certainly can. We were talking about Tom Brady, and he was talking about how this is why it's such a big deal that he wasn't at the OTAs because of the chemistry that you have to build with your football team. And so Markel can speak to that and why it's so important in these off-season workouts.
Well, you know, of course, there's a lot of camaraderie that goes on during the workouts besides, you know, getting bigger, faster, stronger, and lifting weights. But, it, you know, like you said, it also bonds the kids together.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, especially in football, and we, of course, down here in the South, we love football. But as a sport, if you think of college, you've got, what, 10, 11 games, you know, at best. And so when you think of all the work that you have to put into just for those 10 or 11 games, and you're talking basically 364 days out of the year of, you know, working out, you know, building the chemistry, doing all the hard things afterwards, being mentally tough as a team, and then how that comes together, you know, when you get ready to start your season. And so you're right. A lot of it is really what you do in the off season, the blood, sweat, tears, everything you put into it, which hardens you and makes you a better team, you know, when you do together. And so, you know, you see it all the time. You get, you know, certain teams win championships, and then they get a little bit fat and happy, and they're excited, and they're happy, you know, but they sort of lose focus. They're worried about contracts and things like that.
I talk to my wife, fat and grumpy. That's what she labels me, and I'm trying to get in shape. I promise you guys, I will get into that CrossFit gym and try and do what you guys do. But, you know, being a coach for a long time, 35 years, off-season workouts were important. But, you know, in the state of Georgia, you can't make it mandatory, but coaches make it mandatory. And you got to get the kids there. And, you know, I was a firm believer, though. I wasn't going to make them go run a mile every time they miss a session. But there was a penalty to pay. And, you know, it has to go there. And, I mean, it has to be there. So we had some kids, got to talk about the kid from Georgia Southern, you know, baseball player, Richmond Hill.
Right.
Brian Eichhorn signing with the Cleveland Indians in the ninth round. Just yesterday on Twitter, Dylan McMahon out of Savannah Christian signing with NC State. That's an ACC rival, isn't it?
Well, and what's so cool about, you know, those kids is I was watching the news. I was watching WTOC, and I was watching Big Frank, and they were talking about how the kid was talking about from Richmond Hill, how he didn't get a lot of looks. You know, he didn't get a lot of recognition. And so for him, this was, I mean, he wasn't nasty about it. He was matter of fact. And he said that, you know, this is like retribution, you know. And so I imagine that that motivated him, number one. And number two, I guarantee that kid put in the work in the offseason. You don't get drafted. You don't get to play professional sports without putting in, you know, that overtime. And, you know, we're going to talk to Alana Lancer from St. Vincent's. And like I said, this girl impressed me so much, this student athlete, because here she is making the grades and here she is, you know, coming to my spin class at 5:15 in the morning with, and it's not a young crowd.
No.
You know, it's not, you know, 17, 18 year olds. It's an older crowd, and that's intimidating. And for her to be able to come in there and, you know, kind of make a name for herself, like we know she's there, and it's just impressive.
And I'm going to go over to Markel because, you know, Markel played at Boston College. But social media, though, you know, these kids are now posting their workouts in the weight room. I mean, if I'm a college coach and I see that kid lifting 350 pounds, whether it's squatting, bench pressing, or a power clean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, when you talked to my former teammate, Kenyatta Watson, a few weeks ago, we talked about that and how, you know, social media puts it out there for everything, right? So, you know, the coaches can, you know, find you in Montana somewhere, you know, where football may not be very prevalent. But if you're good, if you can put it out on social media, if you can lift 350 pounds, you're going to get looks, right? And so that's, you know, that's changed the game for coaches and recruiting really across the country.
And, you know, and being the educator, also the kids now are also posting their GPAs and what classes they've taken. So, I mean, if you're going to live in basket weaving 101, you're not going to go very far with a college recruiter.
No, and it's a resume. Kenyatta Watson talked about that. Your social media account is your resume. And he said that he had to get on his son about retweeting somebody else's post, because even if you retweet somebody else's post, now it's tied to you. And so these college coaches and these colleges and these employers go back, they look through your social, they have, I'm sure they have, what's it called? Programs.
Right.
Somebody designed a program online to be able to punch your name in and pull up a social media account for you to get all access to their social media. And so you got to be careful in that aspect as well. But it does drive coaches to see kids that might not have gotten seen otherwise.
And, you know, the kids call it creeping. Well, those college recruiters are creeping.
Oh, yeah.
They want to know what you're doing. And what you might have done in junior high school might come back to haunt you. And, you know, a guy that played for Villanova, one of their top basketball players, I can't remember his name, red-headed kid, red-haired. He was really good.
Well, kid with the Italian last name?
Last name. But they went back to his middle school years and found something that really was detrimental to him.
Yeah, well, that's happened to Josh Allen.
Yep.
Out of Wyoming.
Wyoming quarterback.
And that's money. That's millions of dollars.
Big time money.
Because if you drop in the draft, if you're not 1, 2, 3, and you go down maybe 10, 11, 12, I mean, that's billions of dollars right there.
It's big time loss of money.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really is. But, you know, again, it is about the off season and, you know, championships, and I know it's cliche. Championships are won in the off season, and they're not won during the season, and so you have to put in the work. And I know that's, you know, obviously, like, I put in the work to get my college scholarship. Like, that was my ultimate goal.
It's the best time to do it, too.
Right.
There's no school. There's no classes. There's no homework. Well, unless you're stuck in summer school. But we'll go on that in another story. But anyway, you got to get in and you got to work out. And,
right.
Next week, we'll bring on Tyler Carlson. I mean, this girl's resume is unbelievable. This girl put in the time and effort.
She definitely did. And, you know, she reached out to me when she was going for the CPAP for being a firefighter at Savannah Fire, and she killed it. I mean, she absolutely killed it. She worked hard for it. That test is not easy, especially for females who, you know, are maybe not necessarily as strong as males in that aspect, but, you know, she killed the CPAP and just didn't want to leave any doubt to that. But it's also you got to be smart and intelligent to take those tests to qualify to be a firefighter. So I'm impressed
with
her.
Student athlete.
Very much so.
Well, next up, we're going to go travel over to 63rd and Paulson, Calvary Day School. We're going to catch up on Georgia High School State Association news with the Class A rep right here in Savannah, Georgia, Calvary AD, Chad Griffin. You're listening to the Coach of Makos, presented by Chatham Orthopedic Associates, right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
Now, back to the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio.
And it's the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. It's brought to you by Chatham Orthopedic Associates. Living is moving. Okay, and once again, this is a favorite part where I bring on the man that's very close to the Georgia High School State Association. He has all the updated news, and he's our rep in the Class 3A. Hold it, got to go a little up here. And he's on top of all the news, and also what a great facility now there at the corner of 63rd and Paulson. There's always been a great facility, but they're adding more and more when you're landlocked. I don't know how this man does it. Joining us now on the ESPN Savannah Smiles Mobile Hotline is the athletic director, the soccer coach, you name it, he does it over there, Chad Griffin. Chad, always a pleasure having you on.
Man, great to be here, and a great segment. You know, last segment talking about, you know, student athletes and social media and summer workouts. I mean, that's a great topic to talk about. So a lot of different avenues to go there.
Yeah, as you talk about that, Coach, as you're driving to Pooler for a baseball tournament, it's like the season never ends. But, you know, Carl and I were talking about how, you know, championships are won and lost in the off season, and that's when you really grind. And so, I mean, you're like the epitome of that right now, you know, hitting the diamond, and it's not even it might be travel ball season, but it's not, you know, regular season. And so how important is that for these kids to, you know, be able to work out in the off season and get after their craft?
It is. I mean, it's like anything else. To be great, you got to make sacrifices. And, you know, and I think more and more student athletes understand that. We always talk about there's a difference between average, good, and great, and what those different levels entail. you know, average only takes so much, good takes so much, but great takes, you know, there's sacrifices you got to make, whether it's, you know, hey, I'm going to be, make sure I'm at workouts every morning, 4 days a week, make sure I'm putting in extra running, extra time, hitting, whatever you're doing, you know, champions are made in that time when no one else is looking. It's a great quote by Mia Hamm. You know, talking about being over drenched in sweat when no one's there around. You know, that's what it takes. And you know, what sacrifice are you willing to make? Hey, yeah, you might lose some time with your friends. You might lose some time on some other social stuff. But if this is something you truly love and have a passion about, then you're allowed to make sacrifices. And for great programs and great teams, and you know, I was listening to student athletes here talking about like Dylan Mann from Savannah Christian. I'm excited for him and you know, being in NC State, and that's big, and it shows you the talent around this area is just tremendous, and the exposure they're getting and the work they're putting in all season, you have to do it. You really don't have a choice.
Yeah, I remember Friday nights with my dad while my friends were, you know, going to the movies and going to the mall in New Jersey. I was at the court with my dad. You know, we would play hoops and then we would pitch. And that was my Friday nights. My Sundays were spent driving an hour or so to my pitching lessons and my hitting lessons. So I totally get it. And it's nice to see a lot of these athletes getting after it in the off season. But not every athlete, when you know you meet up with your team, we were talking about this before we came back on air, not every athlete, every team is able to get together with their team based on, you know, the rules in the state of Georgia. So talk a little bit about that, about how, you know, this teams in the fall, we start school so early, but these teams aren't allowed to get together until a certain time frame to get that chemistry going, and then they're playing games right off the bat.
Yeah, it's something that we're looking at. You know, there's proposals that's being written. We wrote one last spring, but it was too late to bring it before the executive committee. You know, the typical start date for Georgia high school for fall sports has been August 1st. You know, usually for softball, volleyball, cross country, those sports. And July 25th is start of the acclimation period. You know, for football. But you know, a proposal was, you know, school is starting so early nowadays. I mean, you got a lot of counties and districts that are starting literally the first week of August. Teachers are coming back last week of July. And so, you know, in saying that, we're going to have to look to adjust that date, because how can you ask your sports like volleyball and softball and cross country and others to begin right there at the end of July, first week of August, like August 1 traditionally, and then your first contest day can be August 4th or 5th. You know, if we're going to have acclimation for football, then we need to look at this for all of our student athletes, not just for one or two segments. And I think Georgia High School and Dr. Hines realize that based on how early school is starting. I mean, you know, traditionally, and every state's different. Like, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, and they just passed a law 2 summers ago that the whole state, you cannot start school until that last week of August. Part of that is, you know, for tourism. You know, they want people to travel and do more. And so, you know, they start later. Their first games are later. You know, but like football, you know, we start July 25th, and we have a scrimmage August the 3rd. We have a scrimmage August the 10th. And so, you know, the preparation during the summertime, you know, I've been glad to see Georgia High School adapt to 7-on-7, lineman camps, some other things, allow to get some contact during your belt. Because it's, you know, if it's going about student-athlete, then we have to make it about the student-athlete. We got to make it about their ability to prepare and be prepared when it's time to put the pads on or, you know, put the batting glove on or go into the volleyball court. You know, those things are key. Once you their mental fitness, but their physical fitness. You know, they got to be prepared to walk on that court and their skills to play and be ready. And, yeah, that might mean, you know, more time during the summer, but, you know, it's just the way life is. You know, the program of how we've evolved, you know, pros to college to high school, I mean, it's all a trickle-down effect. So it's basically, you know, going year-round. But it's also trying to keep that balance, like you guys were talking about earlier, of being a student athlete and also understanding that you still got to be a kid. Because, like a lot of these kids, I mean, I still had to work during the summer. I still had to, you know, play ball, but balance life in general. So the kids that are balancing all that, tremendous respect for them, because, you know, they're trying to have a life they're trying to balance everything, and with their, you know, grades and academics, especially those rising seniors. It's such a big time for them,
right,
as they prepare for their senior year, whether they're 1 to 3%, they're, you know, will get to play at the next level. And that's why I think sometimes we forget is the other 97% that's not going to play at the next level, that are just still grinding every day because they want to be the best they can be, you know, for their school and their program.
Well, you know, it needs to be leveled out. It needs to be fair for everybody. Why football gets an extra week, who knows? But hopefully you guys will work that out. You're listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, and it's all presented by Chatham Orthopedic Associates. We're talking to the AD, the athletic director, coach over at Calvary Day School, and he's on the Savannah Smiles mobile hotline. That's Chad Griffin. All right, Chad, state playoffs, Grayson Stadium, Calvary Day School. You were involved in both. We got about 2 minutes to go here. Your interpretation, how we made out you holding a girls' soccer state playoff game, and then, of course, over at Grayson Stadium for the state championships.
I think the state championships were great at Grayson. You know, fortunately for us, the last 2 years, we've had, you know, Savannah teams where it was Savannah Christian year before, BC, you know, this year. I tell you, last year, though, when we had Wayne County, those guys in, we had 4,000 seats sold. It's just a wave of black. You know, in talking to Kevin a little bit before, because I was organizing, you know, running it, and he was a little bit, you know, hesitant of, man, you know, we don't get to play at home, or you get to play, you know, not at BC, or, you know, being in another high school field in the atmosphere. And he was, at the end of it, he was just like every other coach that's come through there was, man, what a great experience. It was so nice not have to worry about anything else but coaching baseball. And that's what I think I really enjoyed about what Georgia High School is doing to move some of these things to neutral facilities where, hey, the kids can get a great experience and they can just go play and the coaches can go as coach and you don't have to worry about everything else that goes into game management when you show up. With a lot of coaches, you know, baseball coaches in particular, that falls on them just as much as the AD. So the ADs for those schools and administration, they just need to go and come and enjoy the atmosphere while everything else is being taken care of. They don't have to worry about game management. They don't have to worry about national anthem. And big kudos to the Savannah Bananas, man. They did a great job. Jared and all those guys was first class. Tyler with their new director of fun. It made it just a tremendous atmosphere for these student athletes to participate in the state championship. I guarantee you, there was nowhere else that had the fun and enjoyment going on in their stadium like there was in Savannah and Grayson.
Well, it had to be a great experience, especially, you know, BC got to play here. And there's nothing like playing in Grayson Stadium. Such nostalgia, historic events taking place there, great baseball players there. It's definitely something special. I know, Chad, I'm up against the clock. I know we got more to talk about, but once again, stay dry, and hopefully the baseball, you get some baseball in today.
Yeah, me too. Looking forward to getting to see, watch my son play a little bit. You know, I miss a lot during the season, but excited to be here. And thank you guys, you and Melissa. Melissa, if you're teaching a 5:15 spin class,
yes,
what time are you going to bed?
It depends. Sometimes I go to bed at 9 or 10 or 11 or 12. You know, it's all about time management. But 5:15 Tuesdays, Thursdays. Come join us.
Where are you at?
I'm at the Islands YMCA.
Alan's wife, 5:15. All right.
Yes.
I'll do my best. Yeah, I get Carl on a bike. You get Carl there, I'll be there right beside him pedaling.
All right, buddy. I got one knee done. I get the other knee done. I promised her and Nikkel that I will be in that spin class with her.
All right, man. You go. I'll be sitting right beside you, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
I'll do it, man. Hey, Melissa, thank you guys so much. Appreciate what you do.
Thanks, Coach.
Have a good one, Chad.
All right, man.
And that's Chad Griffin, the athletic director over at Calvary Day School. You're not going to meet a man more passionate high school athletics, about kids, about his job. He's an educator.
He's one of the first people that I covered when I moved out here. And it was, they put me in the batting cage, like, right off the bat. And literally, like, I keep saying right off the bat, you know, this is going to start becoming like some type of a beverage drinking game every time I say right off the bat. But, you know, it's they put me in the cage right away. I hadn't swung a bat in forever. And they're just good people.
Yes.
You know, and that's really what it's all about.
But it's not just about the kids at Calvary.
No.
I mean, he goes to battle for all those teams in the single A.
Yeah.
I mean, the girls talking about how we should start the girls' sports even with the boys' sports.
Yeah.
So he does a great job. So I love having him on. And he's on here at least once a month, and he'll give us the lowdown on what's going on in Georgia High School.
Yeah, and we're blessed to have him in our area. I mean, it really is a blessing.
All right, well, time to get out of here. We got one segment. I can't believe we only got one segment to go in the first hour. It flies right by. We'll turn two. We'll take two trending topics in the world of sports, break it down really quick, give you our opinion, and you'll listen to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after the break.
Now here's more of the Coach and Makos on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head. Remember, we're streaming live at ESPNCoastal.com. So if you get out of your car, you get in the house, you want to listen to it on the internet, ESPNCoastal.com, or just listen to it on your smartphone. Go to the ESPN mobile app and go to Savannah Hilton Head, and we're there. It's the Coach and Makos, and we're at turn two. We're taking two trending topics in the world of sports and breaking it down. And I know you love this. You love talking about it. You look good in Facebook Live. Hey, peace out, everybody. So we're having a lot of fun. Okay, the NBA finals are over.
Yes.
Golden State blew out the Warriors. Well, they didn't blow them out. It just, I think if the Cavaliers would have won that first game, it would have been a different story. But four straight. But as soon as the game is over, this is my opinion. I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
Give the man a break. LeBron James is going to make a decision. But right after the game, you're coming back, LeBron? I guess you and Markel talked about this too. I mean, are you coming back? Give the guy a break. He just finished. It's his hometown. He brought a championship to Cleveland. I know he was tired. You could tell he was tired being a basketball coach. The last two games, he wasn't getting on the rotation to get the backside help, and he was had trouble getting rebounds. But the man played, gave his blood and guts in that whole series. Let the guy live. I mean, he's one of the best players ever. I'm not giving you a GOAT because I don't believe in a GOAT, because different eras had their different players. But give the guy a break.
All right, I'm going to get on my soapbox for a little bit. And Markel and I talked about...
Remember, we don't have much time yet, so...
Yeah, Markel and I talked about this a little bit. All I heard in the media and all over the joint was how terrible LeBron's teammates were and how he has no supporting cast. These are professional athletes.
Right.
So clearly you've done something right and you're somewhat decent to play professional sports.
You're in the NBA championship.
Right. You're in the NBA championship. So if I'm LeBron's teammate and everyone's telling me how terrible I am and how I can't support him, I'm not going to... You know, I'm going to smile, but I'm not going to have that big, bright smile. And, you know, that motivation factor, I guess, is, well, I mean, everyone thinks we suck. So, you know, it is what it is. And so how hard are you going to play? You might think you're playing hard, but when you are that motivated and you ride or die, or you lay down on that line for it, for your coaches, for your teammates, I didn't see that in the Cavaliers. And I'm not surprised, because the whole topic of conversation was LeBron's going to leave. So if my star player is leaving, then I'm motivated, because I want to do well and I want to win and I have that within me. However, I get it why they didn't win and why they didn't necessarily play as hard as they should have, because here you've got your star player. It's like me. I was talking to Markel about this. If I'm playing for Boston College and I'm the star pitcher and everybody knows I'm transferring to our rival, Notre Dame, because that's who they're talking about LeBron going to, is the Rockets or LA to the Lakers. And so if my teammates know I'm transferring to Notre Dame, you think they're going to have that respect for me no matter how good I am? No, they're not going to want to ride or die with me, because they know I'm leaving.
Exactly.
So that's my opinion. And I get LeBron is tired, and I get that he, you know, played his heart out. I get that. But don't think for one second that those players weren't trying their best. And just say that that he's got no supporting cast, I get it. But at the same time, I come at it from that passionate angle.
As a coach, the thing that bothered me most about LeBron, I'm not gonna doubt his desire, his hustle. He gave everything.
He did.
But I want to play with basketball players that have some kind of intellectual knowledge of the game. So what are you saying, LeBron? Your teammates weren't good enough for you because they don't have basketball knowledge? They have basketball knowledge. Give me a break. You're putting them under the bus when you say that. I want to play with guys that know the game of basketball.
Yeah, and you can't throw your teammates under the bus.
And that's what he did with that statement.
And I get the whole, you know, Markel brought it up, and I keep saying Markel because we had an intense conversation about it this morning in terms of, you know, this is what the NBA is. You know, when these guys have the 1 year to opt out, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, if the NBA puts this platform out there where you can opt out any year you want. But then again, you got KD, you got Kevin Durant, who's got the one year option as well. And here he is. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
No, I'm coming back here. He's already said it.
Right, which is fine, which is great. But, you know, LeBron, this has been the topic of conversation from the get-go. Is he going to stay in Cleveland? Is he going to stay in Cleveland? You know, that doesn't make for a good team chemistry.
So, all right, that's point number one. Point number two, I'm going to let you take this first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
go ahead.
Surfing the internet. Okay, and of course it happened to go back to where I'm from, Long Island, New York. Okay, a 14-year-old girl is being highly, highly watched by Major League Baseball scouts. Will we see girls playing Major League Baseball in our time?
In our time, I don't know. See, that was when I was growing up. I wanted to play center field for the New York Yankees.
Mickey Mantle?
And
Bernie Williams?
Bernie Williams,
there,
yeah. Bernie Williams, Claudel Washington.
Right.
That's what I wanted to do. And
Tim Raines.
I never thought that was not a possibility.
Mickey Rivers?
Until I got older, and then I realized, yeah, no, girls don't play Major League Baseball. I'd love to see it. Absolutely love to see it. And I think it is a possibility in our lifetime. And it'll be interesting to follow this girl's story. But, you know, a lot of times with us girls, we tend to, you know, get caught up in boys and stuff. So we'll see what happens after, you know, she a couple years. Because at that age, at 14, that's when, you know, the boys start to come to play and the social aspect and everything like that. So,
but well, we got girls playing middle school baseball, playing middle school basketball, playing middle school football with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to get into the next level to play high school. And I think once you get into play high school, which they already are playing football, I mean, it might be only the kicker, but that's a big part of a football team. You know, we'll see what happens. But I think they deserve it. They deserve a chance to do it.
I absolutely agree that they deserve a chance to do it. And I would love to see it. And I know a lot of girls that, you know, play football. And my girl Trina, you know, played football. And I would put her up against Markel Blount right there. And my money would be on Trina. But, yeah, I would absolutely love to see it. And I think it's time to break that barrier.
We got to break it. Well, two great points. Is LeBron staying? Can girls play baseball? Well, we'll find out. And once again, the first hour is in the books. Game number one is done. So stay tuned for game number two. Remember, you're listening to the Coach and Makos on the Carl Demasi Sportsbook.
Introducing the all-new
by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. So once again, let's get ready for game two. Anything you got to add going into game two?
No.
I know you're looking for your girl.
Take it away, Cody.
Well, we still got about 20 seconds here. I went a little quick.
Oh, okay. Oh, hi, Cody. Yeah. No, I mean, again, you know, if you want to talk about playing professional sports, you know, you got the WNBA, but you don't have a professional baseball league for girls, but how about a league of their own?
That would be nice. We're out of here. We'll be back with game number two at 10:03. It's the Coach and Makos. We'll see you after the break.
This is the Carl Demasi Sports Report.
Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
And now featuring Melissa Makos, it's the Coach and Makos on ESPN Savannah Hilton Head.
And good morning, Savannah and the Low Country, and welcome to game number two of the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio. Savannah Hilton, and it's presented to you by Chatham Orthopedics Associates. Living is moving. Well, one in the books. We're going to game number two. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's glad to have you back in the studio.
You are doing well. Doing good is not proper English.
I don't care. I'm doing good.
Doing well.
I'm doing good. We do what we do. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So, but anyway, I'm doing well. Yes. Miss Edith, English teacher over here, you know, because that's what Melissa does now. She is an English teacher. She will be traveling over to Islands High School.
That's right. I'm now officially a shark, which is cool because the last name Makos, they used to call me Sharky when I was in high school because of a Mako shark. So it kind of fits, right?
Fits right in here. Well, if you missed game number one, we had a special guest with Chad Griffin talking about Georgia High School State Association rules. We talked a little fitness first with Markel Blount, former All-American up at Boston College linebacker. I didn't know he played for Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, okay, so Coughlin recruited him.
Right.
But Coughlin, after his freshman year, he recruited him.
Right.
He recruited that whole class. He bounced. So
where did he go?
Giants.
And what did he do?
I won a couple of Super Bowls.
I can't complain about that.
Yeah, but they brought in, I wish he was.
Spagnola?
Not Spagnola. They had Dan.
can't think of
his Henning. Dan Henning. Mm-hmm. Dan Henning came in, and they had some, you know, gambling scandals and stuff like that, and a whole bunch of stuff went down, and so that was kind of a mess. But Markell played as a redshirt freshman, so he didn't actually he wasn't a redshirt freshman because he was a freshman.
He was a freshman,
so that's why we were able to graduate the same year.
Well, okay, and then we talk about two trending points in the world of sports. You know, we had LeBron James and, of course, about girls playing Major League Baseball, so we'll see what happens with that. Well, hour number two, once again, we're here talking in the first segment, talking about local news, local scores. We'll talk about the Braves. We'll talk about, you know, what's going on here in Savannah, Georgia. Quarter number two, we go to our Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from St. Vincent's Academy. Senior soccer player, she just graduated, valedictorian, going to my favorite school, Notre Dame. Alana Lancer, so Elena and Lanta. It's spelled Alana, but she says Elena, okay? So yes. We'll get it straight, but looking forward to talking to her. And then we'll go into a little more about the Braves baseball with former Armstrong State University head baseball coach. He's the uncle of Charlie Culberson, who's had two walk-off home runs in the last 3 weeks, and that's Calvin Culberson. Going to be a lot of fun, and then we'll close it. We'll go three out the door, take three trending topics, and give you our opinion about it. Okay, so let's go to the scoreboard. We are your flagship station for the Braves, the Falcons, the Hawks, Georgia Bulldogs, football, baseball, you name it, we do it. So let's start with the Braves in season. They're in a little slump. They're on a West Coast trip. They've only won one out of four games. They lost last night to the Dodgers, 7-3. Not a good night. The Dodgers launched five homers against the Braves, and the pitching staff couldn't cool down the red-hot Dodger bats. Brandon McCarthy, who got the start, couldn't make it out of the fifth inning, and he was torched for three home runs in that inning. Up next, you can listen to it right here on ESPN Radio Savannah tonight, Hilton Head, at about the pregame will be at 8:10. The game starts at 9:10. They'll be taking on the Dodgers. Annabelle Sanchez goes for the Braves against the former Brave, Alex Wood. So it should be an interesting game. Savannah Bananas, ma'am?
Yes, Savannah Bananas are on a roll. They're quite appealing this season, as they are every season.
They split last night. They took a little road trip to Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah, they split. I love it. Yeah, they won. They beat the Red Wolves 7-5 last night in Coastal Plain League action. Wild pitches in the 7th and 9th inning were the deciding factor for the Bananas' victory. They've won 6 straight. They're 6-1, and they lead the South Division early. In this is a wooden bat summer league,
right?
Which is really, really cool. You know, when I was living in Massachusetts, I would go to the Cape Cod League.
Cape Dowling.
Yeah, so I'm glad.
That's the number one wooden bat league here in the United States.
A lot of kids, that's where a lot of kids get their look from these pro scouts. So they're back home tonight at Lexington, 7:05 is first pitch.
36th straight sellout.
Oh, yeah, they're killing it there with their marketing and their games. Going to Bark in the Park on the 19th. Going to bring Pee Wee.
You bring in the pig?
Yes, Swine.
But it's Bark in the Park.
Swine in the Stadium.
Swine in the Stadium. Are they playing Macon Bacon?
No, they are not. They're not playing Macon Bacon. I think they are playing Lexington. Don't tell Pee Wee he's a pig. He thinks he's a dog.
Okay. let's go to our pro golfers on the PGA Tour. Brian Harman's off, has had off the last 2 weeks. He's probably getting ready for the U.S. Open in Shinnecock on Long Island, Shinnecock Hills. It's the U.S. Open. The last tournament he played with was the Fort Worth Invitational, tied for 14th, 7-under. He's ranked 23rd in the FedEx Cup. And then our senior PGA Tour member, PGA Champions Tour, Gene Sowers, had off last week. He's at the Principal Charity Classic. He's tied for 20th at 3-under, 5 strokes off the lead behind Bernard Langer. And I know you covered these next two guys you want to talk about. They're amateurs, but they're going to be in the U.S. Senior Open.
That's right. Jack Hall and Doug Hansel. I covered them when I first moved to Savannah. They were always a fixture on the local golf scene, and they've always done so well. And they're continuing their prowess on the links. Jack Hall carded 4-under par 68. Hansel shot 1-under par 71. They were in Okotie at the Kalawassee Island Club. On Monday, they qualified for the U.S. Senior Open, and it's going to be played June 28th to July 1st at the Broadmoor East Course in Colorado Springs. Hall was both medalist and low amateur at the qualifier, and Hall and Hansel are going to join 2016 U.S. Senior Open champ Gene Sowers, representing to Savannah, and there's also going to be somebody else playing with them as well.
And, we are the Brave Station, good old Hall of Famer. John Smoltz qualified for the U.S. Open.
That's awesome.
I didn't think, you know, like I said in the first hour, I didn't know he was 51 years old. I thought he was younger.
I didn't know he golfed and is good. You know, usually they've got that baseball swing, and it's hard to make that adjustment, especially after playing so many years. But
well, he must be pretty good if he qualified.
Listen, when you're an athlete, and I'm sure he puts the time and effort in to be successful on the links.
All right, let's go to the local colleges. We'll start out with Savannah State. Has a number of camps going on. The one that I want to talk about, we talked about kids getting seen while their football camp, their elite prospect camp, is next Friday and Saturday. Camp number one, Friday on June 15th. Camp number two on June 16th. So you want to get seen. You want to play a little college football. Hey, you never know. You might get a free ride out of it.
Yeah, I love those preseason camps, and I love those prospect camps. You know, our friend Kenyatta Watson is, you know, in the representative for the
Under Armour.
Yeah, and he's the recruiting coordinator. Sorry. And I'm starting to bumble and stumble like you. And so, like, these camps are so important to get your looks.
You got to get out there and go to SS Camps on the Savannah State Athletics site, and you'll find out all the information next Friday and Saturday if you want to get seen and you want to play a little college football. SCAD, I know you love talking about SCAD because we don't have your traditional sports, football, basketball, baseball. The fishing team.
Yeah, I love it. I wish I knew how to fish, but they went to the FLW Yeti College Fishing National Championships. They sent a total of 3 boats to the national championship on the Red River. Presented by Lawrence CMAP Genesis. Wow, that's a lot.
Yes.
And they didn't have anybody qualify for the final round, but they still had a great season. And you know, they had women and men out there, both
right.
teams.
So once again, congratulations. Big community event coming up in 2 weekends, and I know this is near and dear to my co-host's heart. You want to play college softball.
You got to be seen. You know, you have to get out there. You have to get out there on the diamond and participate. And again, it's like a prospect camp. And so there is an Under Armour Softball Factory Summer Classic, the 21st and 24th of June. It's going to be over at Paulson Stadium, Paulson Softball Complex, Scarborough, Guy Minnick Youth, Ambuck, Armstrong, Savannah State. So all these teams are going to have about 75 teams in the area playing softball, and college coaches are going to be out there to check out the talent.
And the event will run from the 21st to the 24th. And to end up our 2017-2018 school year, 6 teams won state championships. BC took soccer, tennis, and baseball.
Yeah.
St. Vincent's took golf and soccer. And then the ladies over at Johnson High School won its first state championship in basketball.
Yeah, and we've got our St. Vincent soccer star here, the goalie.
Elena. I think she like had like 10 shutouts looking at her stats or looking at the schedule on Max Preps. But what's also impressive, she's the Valedictorian at St. Vincent.
So, I love it.
And she's going to my favorite college, Notre Dame.
We don't have to talk about that.
Go Irish. She's up next. That's right. You're listening to Coach Makos. Coming up next, the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from St. Vincent's. Soccer star, soccer athlete, fitness fanatic, just like our friend here, Melissa Makos. She's also the Valedictorian at St. Vincent's. And that'll be...
What?
I'm going to mess her first name up again.
Elena,
not Alana. Elena Lancer, okay? Stay tuned. You'll listen to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton. We'll be right back after this.
Now here's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Melissa Makos on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, FM 104.3 FM, and now over in Hilton Island at 92.7 FM. And we're at my favorite part of the show, and that's the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week. And this is where we bring on the good kids. Kids have done something special. You know, you don't have to be all region, all county, all Savannah Morning News to make it to the show. And I know Melissa Makos has a relationship with this young lady because they meet in spin class. She's just graduated from St. Vincent's High School, the Valedictorian at St. Vincent High School. She's got a scholarship to go to the University of Notre Dame. Is it a scholarship?
Not a scholarship, but
being
going,
accepted,
yes.
It's pretty special. So, but anyway, anybody goes to Notre Dame is pretty special. Like I told Elena.
Yes,
there
Elena.
We go. Okay, Elena, it's spelled Delana, but it's Elena, okay? So I'll get it right. Like it's DeMasi, 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 whatever you want to say. But anyway, I had a former softball player of mine go to Notre Dame. It was the best experience of her life, and she loved it. But she, you know, all honorable mention, all region soccer, but part of the state soccer team for the last 2 years. The goalie, I mean, I think she had like 10 shutouts. But you see her right here, and if you're listening on the radio, she's in studio. That's this week's Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week from St. Vincent's Academy, soccer goalie Elena Lanza. Great to have you on.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So, I mean, it's just special. I know you get Melissa early in the morning and spin class and everything else, but, you know, we brought you on because you're part of that two-time defending state champion soccer team. So how did you get involved in soccer?
When I was about four, I started playing rec soccer at the YMCA, and then where I went to elementary school, St. Peter's, I was on their soccer team.
So you've been playing for a while.
Yes.
So now, as being the goalie, I mean, it's just like playing some other sports. And when you're on a very good team, it's like you stand there forever. So it gets a little boring. So my question to you is, since you are the goalie, what do you like most about playing soccer? I mean, you guys, I think you had 10 shutouts. So what's so much fun about what's the fun part about playing soccer?
Well, when I was little, the coach was like, all right, who doesn't care about getting muddy? And it was a co-ed team, and I was the only person who raised their hand. So that's how I started out as keeper, and I just fell in love with it. I never really liked the foot part of soccer. It was just never my thing, but I loved playing keeper. I was always ready to be the one to dive on the ground and get down there.
You didn't mind getting dirty?
No, didn't mind getting dirty.
So, all right, now, you know, goalie, okay, you got to have quick reflexes. You got to be able to punt the ball. You got to be able to see where your teammates are. If I asked Coach Tverdi, your coach, what's your best skill, what would she tell me? What is your best keeper skill?
I don't know what she would say, but I'm definitely not afraid to come out. Not afraid to commit to it.
Not afraid of contact.
Not afraid of contact.
You're not afraid of contact.
Absolutely not. So for me, it's like you either have to commit or stay back on your line, and I'm a person who will come off the line, and I'll just commit to it.
Talk about those two state championships. How special was that to be able to win that trophy 2 years in a row?
It was amazing. I have an awesome team. 4 years ago, I was a freshman. I played JV. I didn't really play with the varsity. And then 3 years ago, we made it to the state championship, but we lost to Lovett, and it was a heartbreaker. But it was the farthest we'd ever been. We'd never made it to state before. And so then 2 years ago, we made it, and we won. And that was the best feeling ever. And this year was even more because I was playing the position I love. I was the keeper in the state championship game.
And I know Melissa, of course, will get into the fitness part. As being a keeper, you got to have some kind of routine to get better. What routine did you use to make yourself a better keeper?
This year I had a keeper coach, Kelly Barr, who played at Armstrong, and she was phenomenal. She would come in, work with me with the hurdles, my least favorite part. And so that's the part we just did over and over again to get used to the jumping and the quickness. So I can attribute a lot of it to her.
Well, I know that Carl and I, the theme of today's show is championships are won and lost in the off season. And, you know, I first became aware of you when you came to my spin class. So for those of you that don't know, I teach spin 2 days a week at 5:15 in the morning at the YMCA. And this girl comes in and, like, gosh, I'm like, she doesn't really fit in with the older crowd that I teach. And I was so impressed, and I talked to her and found out what she did and everything. So talk about that motivation, that intrinsic motivation that you had to get up early, to come to a spin class, to get in shape and to be fitness sound.
Well, I know it's just really important in the off season for me to make sure I stay in shape. And for me, getting up before school, it's hard to get up, but once I'm there, I feel so much better after spin class. So I started going with actually one of my teammates, Lauren O'Hearn. She's the first person who ever went with me. And then after that, my dad and I would go. And during the soccer season, like you said, we had a lot of shutouts, so I didn't always feel like a game was the best workout. So I'd go the next morning because
working out, making yourself better, making, of course, yourself stronger. As far as the season goes, being the keeper, any personal goals going into the season for you?
It was definitely the state championship because my junior year we had a phenomenal keeper, Holly McBride. So she played keeper in the state championship, and I played on the field a little bit. And so I just really wanted to be the starting goalkeeper for the state championship game. And
so, you know, going back to the 5:15 a.m. spin and all the time that you put in the off season, in the spin room, in the weight room, on the field and all that stuff, how do you balance the time between what you do and your academics? I mean, you're the valedictorian. Like, that's not nothing to, you know, bat your eyes over.
And, you know, forget about Notre Dame, but that is pretty special. I mean, being a top student, I mean, I got to congratulate you on that. I know I'm a coach, but I mean, I'm the teacher first, and I mean, unbelievable.
Thank you. So for me, the busier I am, the better, because I can make a set schedule. It's really easy for me to stick to it. I knew I was going to spend one day a week. I'd go from school to soccer, soccer, homework, dinner, and then I'm an early bed person. I'd be in bed by 8:30.
Sounds like Melissa.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your decision to go to Notre Dame? What was it about Notre Dame that you said, this is where I want to go?
2 years ago, I toured over the hurricane, so in October. And before that, my eyes had always been on Stanford. I was like, I'm going to go to Stanford. Stanford's the one for me. And then I went to Notre Dame, and I told my mom, I was like, Mom, this is the one I'm going to. And she was like, no, you're not. You always wanted to go to Stanford. I was like, nope, this is it. And she's like, okay, we'll see how that works out, and kind of brushed it off. But then this year, you know, I applied, and I got in early, and my parents were like, all right, we're going to do what it takes to get you there. So it just felt like me on campus.
Well, I mean, I've never been there. It's a place I got to get to. But even Stanford, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, right.
So I'm glad you're Irish instead of a Cardinal. But we'll go on later on that. We're going to swing back to the season now. You know, you've been part of the St. Vincent soccer program, and Coach Tverde has been, you know, has taken that program to the next level. Tell us about Coach Tverde, what she means to that program, what she's meant to you.
Tverde has dedicated everything she has to the soccer team and the school. Her kids are at almost every game. You know, she spends more time with us girls during the season than she does at home with her kids. She gives everything. She's there every day. As good as she is a coach, she's an even better teacher. I had her as a chemistry teacher sophomore year. In junior year, she was my AP biology teacher. And she's the one who really got me interested in the sciences. And now I'm majoring in science at Notre Dame. And I also named her as my star teacher this year.
Yeah, by the way, she was the star student, and Tverde was the star teacher. So take it away, Melissa. I know that makes you very happy.
Yeah, you know how I love that student-athlete aspect. And not only are you going to major in science, but you want to be an oncologist.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's just so impressive to me. So was it a teacher that made you have that passion for science, or what was that? Where did that come from?
The sciences was really high school. When I got to St. Vincent's, really Tverde. She just got me really interested in the sciences, and then I decided I kind of wanted to go medical and help people. In family history of cancer, I decided I wanted to do oncology.
It's special. Now, you, of course, science, soccer, valedictorian, academics, you have your time management down, you have your organizational skills down to go to college. But my question is, do you have time to participate in any other sports, extracurricular activities? What else have you done over at St. Vincent's?
So I sailed all 4 years at St. Vincent's, and I've also been Irish dancing for the Irish Dancers of Savannah since I was 4.
Wow. It just gets better.
How old are you?
18.
I mean, I didn't have those time management skills at 18. So, okay, so future plans, you want to be a doctor. Tell us what it's like. I mean, I get the guys coming in from BC, and they tell us about the brotherhood. Tell us what it was like going to St. Vincent's Academy for 4 years.
Well, BC is the brotherhood, and we have the sisterhood all the way. We are our motto's women who lead, and we definitely embody that. You know, it's all girls over there, so we take the role of everything. We find a way to make our place in the school, and the school makes its place in the community, and we're rooted in the Sisters of Mercy. So their mercy values are always within us, and we're just trying to be the best that we can be.
You're going to be able to take your Irish dance skills to Notre Dame. They're the Irish through and through, no doubt about it. Elena, thank you so much for coming in. I mean, you're an amazing athlete, an amazing student, an amazing person. You talk about your coach Tverde being an even better person. You are following right in those footsteps, and we're so proud of you. I'm so proud of you, and I was so thankful that you were able to come to my spin class and, you know, kind of make us aware of who you are, because sometimes the goalies and sometimes student athletes like you don't get the recognition that you deserve, but you definitely deserve it.
And, you know, being the goalie and, you know, like you said, 10-0 games means you're really you're putting it on the other team. So not many shots taken at you. But, you know, when you get into the tough games, you got to be there. And, I mean, just a phenomenal season for you. And, of course, a high school career. I mean, pretty special. Valedictorian, star student. Your coach is a star teacher. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Yeah, so, it's awesome.
Well, you were nominated by this young lady right here, and I said I got to get this set up, and I'm glad I got you here. But that's why you're this week's Weatherton Chiropractic Athlete of the Week for June 9th, 2018, Alana Lance, Elena Lanza, okay, from St. Vincent's Academy Soccer.
Thank you so Weatherton. Much. Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, thanks for coming on, because this is just a great interview. Yeah. Great segment. Well, we got to thank the doctor. We got to thank Dr. Bart Weatherington. Your back hurts, another body part hurts all the time. It makes you mad. The pain drives you crazy. You just want to pick something up and do what?
Throw it
across the room, which
Sling it.
Melissa's having a tough time now, right now, doing that little back problem, little horsefly problem, but we'll get it better. So at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic, you get complete chiropractic care, pain relief to help you move better, have a less painful life, and, of course, achieve a healthier life. The Weatherton Chiropractic Clinic is now located in two locations. On Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right here in Savannah, Georgia at 329 Eisenhower Drive. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays in Pula, Georgia at 114 Canal Street, Suite 603. So visit Dr. Bart Weatherington for all your chiropractic needs. Next up, we're going to talk a little Braves baseball. And it's a little more family right here because if you've been watching the Braves in the last 2 weeks, a young man by the name of Charlie Culberson has had two walk-off home runs for the Braves in wins. Well, his uncle was the Armstrong State University head coach, and of course, he's a regular on my show, and that's the head baseball coach from Armstrong State University, Calvin Culberson. You're listening to the Coach of Mancos right here on
ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head.
And we'll be right back after this break.
Here's more of the Coach and Mancos on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Coach and Mancos right here on ESPN Radio. Savannah Hilton Head, and of course, it's presented to you by now Chatham Orthopedic Associates. Living is moving, okay? And, you know, I've had this man on plenty of time, and I wish he still had the maroon and gold on, and but between the lines. But he's still over there, believe it or not, and he's doing a great job. But what a great story, okay? If you've been following the Braves, like I know more about the Braves than the Yankees now, and I know I'm going to make my co-host cringe. But it's just I love watching the Braves. And whether they lost 90 games this year and they're a hunt this year, it's just fun watching the young guys. Well, in the last 2 weeks, this young man named Charlie Culberson has had two walk-off home runs. And if you watched last year, he had a walk-off home run to win a playoff series, didn't he?
Well, he put the Dodgers – he won the title for the Dodgers to put him in the postseason.
Put him into the postseason. So, you know, some big home runs, okay? So, but anyway, with joining us now in the ESPN Savannah Mall studio, the former – head coach over at Armstrong State University, and he, you know, he's still over there. We'll tell you what he's doing over there now, is Calvin Culberson. Coach, always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
And you still haven't left Armstrong yet.
No, sir. Still over there.
So tell everybody what's going on, what you're doing over there, what's your responsibilities now?
I work in the rec and wellness department over on the Armstrong campus now, and I help with coordinating facilities and outside rentals when outside entities want to come in and rent soccer fields and gymnasium and that kind of thing to help coordinate, you know, setups and breakdowns and that kind of thing.
And next weekend, two weekends, we were talking about that the Under Armour softball factory is coming in. You're going to be hosting some softball games over there?
Is that right?
Yeah, they haven't told you that yet.
I'm not privileged that information yet.
Well, they listed Armstrong State as one of the venues. So, besides that, how are you keeping involved in baseball?
You know, it's just been, I go out and watch a few high school games here and there, and mainly now, like you, I guess I'm a Braves fan, and. Well, I've always been a Braves fan, but this year it's been a little more special watching my nephew play a lot. And it's a lot easier, except for now that he's on the West Coast again playing right now, having to stay up a little bit later to watch the game. But it's been nice being able to go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Just put the mic a little closer to you.
And being able to go to bed, you know, at 11 instead of 2.
But anyway, okay, let's get into the Braves now, okay? It's family. How is Charlie related to you?
He's my brother's son.
Okay, and a long line of baseball players in the family. I know you had a shot. You played with the Red Sox in the minor leagues, and Charlie's following your footsteps.
Yeah, well, my brother played. He was drafted by the Giants out of college and played with the Giants for a few years and then played with the Kansas City Royals for a few years, and he got to Double-A, and then, I played for a while, and now Charlie, he actually made it to the big leagues where we fell a little bit short.
the brothers fell short, but the nephew's there.
That's right.
I mean, watching the games, watching somebody that's very close to you, what's the emotions that you go through?
I tell you, it's still surreal, you know, being able to turn on the TV and see his name in the lineup or watching him come up to bat. I sit there, and my wife gets on to me all the time. She laughs at me and says, "What are you yelling at the TV for?" Yeah, I mean,
it's
you know,
a guy thing.
Yeah,
It's definitely a guy thing. We all yell at
him. I disagree. It is not a guy thing because Mikos does it all the time. Just
you
ask.
Have to have a sports fanatic, okay?
Okay, yeah. Maybe a sports fanatic. But, yeah, you know, I yell at the TV all the time, too. Those Yankees always make me angry. I'm a Yankee fan, but I've been following the Braves since I moved down here. You know, gotta love them. What does it mean? You know, Carl tends to not toot his own horn a little bit, but he's got his son in the minor leagues. How difficult is it to go from the minor leagues? Because you've got, you know, short A ball, double A, triple A, and then the bigs. And even if you make it to the bigs, a lot of times you get sent back down. How hard is it to make it to the big leagues like Charlie has done?
It's, you know, it's a long road. It's perseverance. You got to have some breaks along the way. Sometimes you just got to be in the right spot at the right time. You know, somebody gets hurt and you're doing well at the time and you get the call and somebody else doesn't. But it's just a lot of it's just perseverance, you know, just hanging in there and keep grinding and, you know, keep doing your job every time you're called on, and hopefully good things turn out for you.
You know, after I graduated college, I lived in Boston for a couple years.
She still hasn't grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I grew up, I want to be a baseball player. I watched the Cape Cod League games and the Wooden Bat League, and that's special. And now that we have that here in Savannah with the Savannah Bananas, how important is playing in a Wooden Bat League to a baseball player in terms of making that transition from the metal bat to the wooden bat?
Well, it is a little bit different. Actually, I had a chance when I was in college here at Armstrong. I played up in the Cape in 87 for a little bit for Yarmouth Dennis. And it's a little bit of an adjustment because, you know, you have to decide a little bit quicker whether or not you're going to swing at that pitch or not because you ain't got that aluminum bat in your hand. You know, if you get jammed, it breaks it.
Yep.
You can't flare one in or hit one off the end of the bat and dunk one in. I mean, it's a lot different when you're hitting with a wood. The mentality of it is a little bit different, and people don't understand. I mean, when you got a wood bat, you better decide a little bit quicker whether or not you're swinging or not.
I mean, it always fascinates me to see those guys go from college with the aluminum bat to the wooden bat, which makes a big difference. And like you said, there's a drag. You gotta have a quicker reaction to it. So it's big time. It really is big time.
It is.
And you know, and when you get up the ranks in minor league baseball, those guys have more patience than kids at the college level or high school level. And you can see the difference.
Yeah. You know, when I was playing, I had a coach one time tell me it's easier to pitch the higher you go, and it's easier to hit the higher you go.
That makes sense.
Because pitchers get better as you go up. They're not as wild. You don't have to worry about, you know, getting hit or balls going everywhere. And it's easier to, you know, to pitch because – hitters don't swing at just anything you throw up there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching it.
Like in lower class ball, sometimes, I mean, pitchers are down there because they can throw it through a wall, but they may not hit the mitt every time they throw it. So it's a little bit tougher to hit and, you know, and hitting the same way. I mean, it's in pitching, you know, hitters, you throw a good pitch and, you know, they may miss it and you may try and set them up and throw one, you know, 6-7 inches off the plate and reach out there and dunk one in the right field. I mean, that's just how it works.
Definitely. You're listening to Coach Makos right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hillhead. Our guest this segment is the former Armstrong State head baseball coach, Calvin Culberson, toyed a little in the minor leagues, and now he's watching his brother's son make some noise up there in the ATL with the Atlanta Braves. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the main reasons why I want to bring you on, are you surprised that the Braves are this good so quick?
No, I mean, you know, you could tell, you know, with even last year, I mean, even though they lost some games and all, that there was something there that, you know, they just needed a couple of pieces here and there to help push them over the top. And a lot of times that's – if you can supplement your younger players with a few veteran guys to fill in the holes, you know, that helps the cohesiveness of the unit. So, and I think right now, you know, the Braves are showing – I mean, they're exciting to watch because – you got to watch the whole game. You can't turn it off after the seventh inning anymore, you know, because they're the comeback kids.
And baseball is such a long season. You know, we saw the Braves, they started out hot. Now they've lost a few, 1.5 games back in the NL East. But how – it's not a sprint.
No.
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon.
You know, how do you mentally prepare for that as a baseball player playing, you know, all those games?
It's a lot of people don't understand. I mean, it's for 162 games over the course of the season, and you're up lifting, taking BP every day in the heat, playing games, and trying to stay mentally prepared every day. It's a challenge and a grind for players to be able to do that physically and mentally, to be able to stay up. And when you go through those lulls, kind of like what the Braves are doing right now, they kind of hit a little bit of a skid. But, you know, you keep preparing and keep – you don't want to change too much of what you're doing, because obviously what you've done has worked. So the more you try and get away from that, it may set you back further. So you just got to trust in what you're doing. It's going to – things turn around for you. You just got to – you keep grinding. And like they always say with hitting, to get out of a slump, all it takes is one little C&I hit or a dunker, and now you go 10 for your next 15.
Baltimore chop, Texas Liga. I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as you get an infield hit, it doesn't matter. It starts you to get going.
So I'm driving the book, and it keeps you going.
Yep. All right, we got a minute to go here. All right, so what do you think we're going to see from the Braves now? I know they're on the West Coast. They're hitting a little slump right here out there on the West Coast. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. They lost last night to the Dodgers. I mean, Dodgers are red hot. McCarthy, I mean, 3 home runs in that 5th inning. So what can you think we expect out of the Braves going into the next part of the season? We have 60 games into the season. We got 100 to go.
You know, the thing, they you know, once they get Acuña back, that'll help some. You know, it's just going out there. I mean, don't try and change a whole lot of what they're doing. I mean, they're just in one of those spells right now. I mean, every team goes through them, and you know, I think Snitker's done a good job with them as far as, you know, managing the team and getting people playing time as much as he can. And, you know, it's good to see that Charlie's gotten in the lineup because he's gotten a little bit more comfortable swinging a bat, and he's helped out a lot more here lately than, you know, early in the season when, you know, he just wasn't doing as well. But, you know, baseball, I mean, if you ain't out there all the time playing and getting in a rhythm, it's tough to go in there. I mean, Simpson then was talking one time on the radio, and I heard Brian Jordan talking about it. You know, what Charlie and Preston Tucker and some of those guys do is one of the hardest jobs in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
You sit over there for 7 innings, and then all of a sudden, you know, manager asks you to go up there and face one of the premier closers in the league or one of the top relievers in the league to, you know, get you a hit or something other. That's a hard job to do.
Oh, man, it's very hard.
There's not many guys in the big leagues that, even over the course of history, that's been real successful doing that kind of stuff. I mean, it's hard to do, but, you know, it's all the technology they have where they can watch pitchers in the dugout before they go up and see their motion, their pitchers and all that, the pitches and all that kind of stuff. That helps prepare them for success when they go up there.
It definitely has changed. Well, Coach, always a pleasure having you on. And once again, I'm excited. I'm not as excited as you and your family,
yeah.
But watching Charlie up there saying, I know that guy's uncle. So once again, it's a lot of fun watching it and going through the emotions, watching my son, because now you could watch every AA, AAA game streamed online. It's nerve-wracking, but it's a lot of fun watching.
It is. I enjoy it every day because – you just don't never know when he may not be there again. So it's just fun watching him and rooting for him and telling him to swing the bat. Don't take that fastball. Swing it, you know.
Talking to the TV.
Yeah. So, you know, and listening to my wife and my kid yell at me, you know, like, what are you doing? He can't hear you. I said, I know, but it's the coach in me.
Well, we're going to bring the coach back on when we get through the next quarter of the season. Once again, thanks for coming in here. And once again, go Braves and go Charlie.
Yeah, thanks. I always enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Next up. We're running out of time here. We're going to go 3 out the door. We'll take 3 points and talk about it and break it down what's going on locally or nationally. You're listening to the Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head. We'll be right back after this.
Now here's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and Melissa Makos on ESPN Radio.
And you're listening to Coach and Makos right here on ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, and it's all brought to you by Chatham Orthopedic Associates, where living is moving. And, Melissa, this flies by so quick. You know, we had Elena Lanza, Valedictorian at St. Vincent, soccer player, goalie for the Chase Championship. We've had Calvin Culberson, former Armstrong State University head baseball coach, and of course his son, it's probably like his son, his nephew Charlie Culberson playing for the Braves. I mean, it just flies by, and we're going to be three out the door because it's time to leave, and we've already talked about this a number of times. You see, you didn't even realize I had this on our sheet.
Yeah, no.
So
I guess I should read before we. That's okay. I like when we go off on tangents because I think it keeps it real, it keeps it authentic.
Well, two of the topics we've already covered, we stepped on a lot, and off-season workouts is very important.
Yeah, well, I always say championships, and as cliche as it sounds, are won and lost in the off season. And you know, just speaking to Elena, you don't see what these athletes do behind closed doors. What we see is what they do on the court, on the field, on the track. That's what we see. We don't see all that hard work and effort that goes in on the side. And I, speaking from experience, you know, when I was in high school and when I was in middle school, you know, just hanging out with my dad playing basketball, at the courts and not doing that social thing with some of my other friends that were doing it. Not that they didn't, play sports. They did. But for me, it was just such a passion.
Oh.
And I knew that I had to, get out of just, playing season for season for season.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I used other sports to help prepare me and get me in shape for basketball and for softball.
I mean, even Chad Griffin said that, the best are the people that are in there in the off season and are working their butts off. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, Mia Hamm, gotta love Mia Hamm.
I love her.
I mean, when you're sweating and nobody sees you doing that, you've done something special.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is, you have to hold your fist to the iron and you have to motivate yourself. And
exactly.
Like I tell everybody in spin class, like, you control that knob on the spin bike. You're the ones that are here. You're the ones that woke up early in the morning to come to a spin class, put in the work, and don't walk out of here with any regrets.
5:15 in the morning. And yeah. As you said, she wasn't getting a lot of action playing goalie on that soccer team.
Yeah, right.
So, all right, next one. We touched on it. 69 days till high school football, not college, high school football.
I can't wait. They start so early here down south because it's a way of life.
Right.
And I'm so excited for Markel to go through a high school football season here in Georgia because, living and going through it up north in Massachusetts, it's just a totally different bird, different element.
Because up north, you got to deal with the professional teams, too, and you got to deal with the college teams.
Right.
We're down here. We don't have a big-time college football program in the area. You have to go to Athens. You have to go to Gainesville. We have Savannah State. Give them a lot of credit. They play good football now. Georgia Southern is up the road about an hour and 15 minutes. So
yeah, and we,
Friday nights. It's the way of life down here.
It's Friday Night Lights, and we didn't have that. I remember growing up in New Jersey, it wasn't like that. We didn't have Friday Night Lights like that we have down here. And so on any given Friday night, I mean, it's just you can pick a field, go watch a game, and it's awesome football.
All right. Is a horse an athlete?
Yes. Absolutely.
We got a big one going on today.
Justify.
Triple Crown is today up in Elmont, New York at Belmont Park. Justify going for the Triple Crown. I mean, it gets me excited because I grew up in the North, so like you. Horse racing is big time.
It is.
You would think that horse racing would be big time down here because of whether it be, with the automobile and the horse racing. I mean, just anything with racing would be big time, but you don't hear a lot about it down here in the South.
I don't know. I mean, I just remember that, growing up North, it was always the Belmont Stakes were always huge. And the Kentucky Derby, even though the Kentucky Derby's down south. Kentucky's,
right.
A southern state, right?
Right.
But I really hope he does it because it's something to talk about, and it's such an impressive feat. And it's something where you don't necessarily have to be into sports, but a lot of people watch it. And that's what I love about horse racing. That's what I love about sports like equestrian and golf and stuff like that, because you can play golf at 51 and be
right.
competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You can, be an equestrian and be competitive with your horse and excuse me, I'm getting all choked up. But I love that. So I really hope that Justify does it.
It's going to be special watching it and growing up with it. And of course, where I come, there were places where you don't have to be at the racetrack to, do a little betting, off track betting. But this is the 150th Belmont Stakes. Do you believe 150 already?
Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's like Beach High School. 150 years. It's a long time. But I remember seeing signs when I would go play softball in New York, and the upstate New York and Western New York, you would see signs for OTB, and I'm like, what's OTB? Off-track betting. And
hey, just like STP.
Yeah, STP.
SunTrust Park.
We got to get up there.
You got to get up there. You got to get up there and see it. So
I've been outside of it. It was in the off-season.
I'm predicting that this horse will do it today.
Okay.
He just looks so much better watching him in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. So I'm excited about it. And you know what? You can say what you want, but this horse is an athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And,
and beautiful.
And we talked to my girl, Amanda Steed. She was a professional equestrian. And, we talk about how you have to train them, and they have to be in shape. You can't just trot out, a pony and be like, okay, go. Like, they work. they work hard. And, absolutely a horse is an athlete.
Well, we'll be back here next week. Melissa, once again, it's over.
Yeah.
Flies by so much fast. And, of course, Cody Queen in the back room doing all the controls and everything else. You can hear him at 7 o'clock on Coastal Adventures right here on ESPN Radio. Keep in mind, following the show right here, we got explosive recruiting with Jim Johnson and Calvin Wilson from 11 to 9. Braves on tonight at 9:10. Braves on tomorrow at 4:10. And remember, every Saturday morning from 9 until 11 right here on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, you can listen to your source for Savannah area sports. It's the Coach in Makos, Carl DeMasi and Melissa Makos. So enjoy the rest of the weekend. Until next Saturday, may it be your best week ever. And Melissa,
always hit it out of the park.
We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.